Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious New Orleans Convention Center in New Orleans. This is day number 4. Where the heck is the week really gone? It's really crazy. Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, coast to coast, across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and as always, streaming on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number, as always, to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We got a loaded, and I mean a loaded guest list for you today. Emmett Smith is going to be stopping by coming up in a few minutes. Cam Jordan will join us from the New Orleans Saints. Bijan Robinson, who I always enjoy talking to, is going to stop by 40 minutes from now. And then in hour number 2, we got Drew Brees, we got Brian Dawkins, and in the final hour of the show, Teddy Bruschi and DeMar Hamlin together, and then one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time in Joe Montana. So a whole lot cooking. We even see the best running back in college football, Ashton Jeanty, who just walked past us, which I know our friends in Boise are going to be really happy about that one. So it is a who's who's, obviously, on Radio Row as we're inside the New Orleans Convention Center. And the buzz and the hype in this city, you could finally feel it today as you gear closer and closer to the big game coming up on Sunday. You know, being here and being on the scene, I gather, and I didn't really sense this on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but the more and more the week does go on, it feels like a lot of people believe the Chiefs are going to win this game. You know, I was doing a radio hit. I was being a guest at a station in Florida, and they said, oh, well, we know who most people are picking for the game. And I go, oh, really, who? And they said the Kansas City Chiefs. So that's kind of been the popular pick from what I gather really in the last 24 hours. I think the Eagles are winning the game. I think the Eagles are going to win 31-23. I still have a day to sleep on that and a night to sleep on that, and we'll see if that's going to be the case when I give you that pick coming up on Friday. But right now, you put a gun to my head, who wins this game? I would not feel comfortable because, hey, it's still Mahomes, and if Mahomes has the ball late, and that's the Brady factor, right? One team could be better, 1-53, but ultimately, you have to wait and see who has the ball at the end of the game, and Mahomes, nothing's too big for him, but there is, deservedly so, a lot of apprehension, and there are many people that even though they say, okay, you got Jalen Hurts, you got Saquon Barkley, or as I like to say now, Saquon Barkley, when you see that clip on social media, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, Lane Johnson, Jalen Carter, Quinyon Mitchell, Zach Bond, and you look at just 1-53, the Eagles are better. Everyone says the same thing. Yeah, but you got 15 on the other sideline. Yeah, but you got Andy Reid, and you got Steve Spagnuolo as well, and you got Travis Kelce, and you got Chris Jones as well. So the more and more and more as we get closer to the game, it's do the established all-time great names, the three for the Chiefs player in Mahomes and in Kelce and also in Chris Jones, when you look at those three in addition to Andy Reid, who's one of the greatest coaches of all time. And then you also have the brilliance of Steve Spagnuolo, who this week for Spags, man, this has been Spags in the national spotlight. Good for him. Good for Spags. We know Spags, a four-time Super Bowl-winning defensive coordinator. It didn't work out with the Rams. But when you look at Spags, what he did, beating the Patriots when they were undefeated at the time, 18-1, and then you continue to move with Spags and the three championships that he's won here, and the defense for the last 3 years, it's been better than the offense. This has been the week, really, where I understand, right, Andy Reid is more popular, and if Andy wins, he's going to go up and up and up in the annals of NFL history. But for Spags, it almost feels like he's the head coach with how much people are hyping up Steve Spagnuolo this week. So it's really those five names against the 53-plus for the Philadelphia Eagles. It's the names of Chris Jones, in no order, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and you keep it moving with Spags and with Andy Reid up against the 1-53 and the more well-rounded version of really the Philadelphia Eagles. And it's going to create for an ultimate and I think great game. And hey, that game was awesome a few years back. And I think that now when you look at it two Super Bowls later, it's going to be just as good, if not better. It would not shock me. I know we saw overtime last year. It would not shock me if we end up getting overtime this year as well. And now joining us on set, he is the Pro Football Hall of Famer to kick off the show. I have his tequila actually still in my apartment, and I drink it often because I love this tequila every time that he brings it. Thank you, thank you. Look at the tequila. I have this in my apartment still from the last time you gave it to me.
You're not drinking enough.
I'm slowly drinking it because I'm savoring. I'm savoring every taste, every sip, every last drop of it. But Emmett Smith is here with us, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, and we appreciate Emmett obviously always coming on. I think, see, I'll help you. I'll give you a boost. I think you got to stand up, and then that should be able to boost up. No? You want to just take my chair? We could do that.
No.
See, this is like live on the fly. Wow.
No, we good.
We're good.
I'm not gonna be here long.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about the Cowboys. You want to leave?
Yeah.
So I'm what's going on? Right how now. You been?
I've been good, brother. How about you?
I'm fantastic. So let me start you off with Saquon Barkley.
Yes.
This game, you think running backs, right? We're talking to you. How about what Saquon's been able to do for the running back position this
Man,
year?
Man, I think it's been phenomenal watching Saquon go out here and do his thing. It's great for the Eagles because they received a top-notch quality football player. It's bad for the Giants because they got rid of the wrong player. But nonetheless, this particular game itself, the team that protects the ball the most and is able to establish the running game will have a chance to be another Super Bowl champion.
Well, it's funny because I was talking about it right before you came on. You look at the Chiefs. Everyone talks about Reed, Spagnuolo, Mahomes, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce. Those are the established names that everybody fears. But then you see 1 through 53 with the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are a better team, but with the star presence and the coaching presence of the Chiefs, you know, you don't need to be the better team necessarily on paper to win the game.
No, you don't. You just got to play quality football. And the one thing about the Chiefs are built to play in tough games. So they are mentally tough, and they're going to grind you down and probably beat you physically and emotionally for four quarters. They're going to try to frustrate the hell out of you. And for Philadelphia, they're going to have to show patience and develop patience right now, and they're going to have to leverage every bit of what Saquon can do in order to keep the Chiefs on the bench. Third down conversions is going to be huge for Philadelphia. And because that's what keep the drive alive and keep the drive moving, keep the ball moving down the field. But you don't want to give Patrick Mahomes a chance to score right before the half, and you don't definitely want to give him the ball at the end of the game.
Emmett Smith here with us, the Pro Football Hall of Famer. I was talking to Micah yesterday, and we were talking about Myles Garrett. And Myles Garrett came up, and he said if he joined the Cowboys, it would be a race, first one to 20 sacks. But then he talked about the finances and how it may not potentially be able to work out with the amount of money that Mike is going to make and what Myles is probably looking for as well. I'm assuming you'd be interested in the Cowboys potentially acquiring Myles Garrett in a trade,
most
right?
Most definitely. Anything to help with a pass rush and stopping the run is much welcome in Dallas, in my opinion. But we got a lot of issues that we have to get resolved. But having Myles Garrett on the defense along with Micah Parsons on the other side, man, you talking about something phenomenal. You talking about nightmares for quarterbacks. That right there, that could be something pretty significant.
Did the Cowboys mess this up with McCarthy? Should he still be coaching this team?
No. He should have been gone about a year ago. I think we held on to him a year too long, and it delayed whatever process that we needed to go through. I mean, I don't have nothing against Mike McCarthy, but when our team get bounced out of the playoff like they did last year, and this year happens the way it did, things was heading that direction. And we didn't do anything about it. We waited a year too long. And now we're starting over a year later when we should have been in this process a year ago.
Shoddy, though, with him becoming the next head coach, I think there's only been one person to really defend it. But, like, I don't even love Kellen Moore. I'd rather have Kellen Moore than Brian Schottenheimer. Are you on board with Brian Schottenheimer?
No, I'm not necessarily on board with anything at this point because I thought we would have went – to a defensive coach or a much more seasoned coach with a name than what we got. I mean, Pete Carroll would have been fine. I think if
Belichick would have been awesome if he didn't go to UNC.
I don't know about that one. I think the relationship between Belichick and Jerry could have been too toxic. However, I do believe if he would have went after Mike Shanahan and brought him out of retirement, that would have been something different. But also,
is that something you were hearing?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's something that I'm sitting up there thinking about. I'm thinking about who would be a great head coach for the Dallas Cowboys. Even Dion would have done a great job. I think Dion would have put together, he would have had enough of a staff that wanted to come work with him at that level.
Why didn't that happen? Because Jerry threw it out there right away. Schefter had it right when the news came out that McCarthy wasn't happening, and that never got off the ground.
Great story. And again, it's a PR machine around the Dallas Cowboys that just reverberates throughout the media markets. Because if the Cowboys make a statement like that, you have to cover it. And you covered it, and everyone covered it well. But it didn't work out that way, but the Cowboys' name was still out there. And marketing.
I say this all the time. I'm a big reality TV fan. You know, we talk all this sports.
Yeah.
When you get home, you got to watch something that's not sports-related from time to time.
Right.
If Jerry Jones was running Reality TV Network, make a lot of money. He knows how to run reality TV better than he does, I think, football these days.
Hey, that may be true. That might be true. I know he did a good job on Land, man. I keep hearing about it all the time.
Also, Hard Knocks with the McDonald's sandwich and all the salt as well.
Brand building.
Yeah.
Brand building, brand opportunities, selling opportunities.
So you still obviously look great, but you're associated with the old guard of the Dallas Cowboys, right? Are you guys just fed up with what has happened with the Cowboys and Jerry?
You know, I'm not going to say with Jerry, but, you know, I think as fans, because we get asked this stuff all the time from everybody that's a Dallas Cowboy fan.
You, go Drew ahead, Pearson, go, yeah, Irvin, even if you Troy.
Don't, even if you don't even want to answer or respond, you still get asked the question so much by so many different people to where you're like, hey, I'm tired of talking about it. Let me just give you my opinion on this, and hopefully this is good enough. And so, but we have created this this negative vibe around the Dallas Cowboys that has lasted for over 25 years. And it's all around winning. Has nothing to do with, in my opinion, has nothing to do with the Cowboys brand. Because the Cowboys brand has grown for the last 20-some-odd years. It's worth one of the highest, if not the highest, valued franchise in all of sports. And if that's the case, why aren't we winning? Are we talking about winning or are we talking about being valued?
You're making me want to drink here. You're spitting facts here.
Well, it is facts. I mean, seriously, are we talking about winning or are we talking about being valued? I mean, value, no one can argue value.
I say.
And when you try to argue value, then you have to ask yourself, okay, isn't that winning? Yes, it's winning on the business side.
How we think of winning, though, I don't think Jerry puts it as priority number one. That's just my opinion.
Well, you know, you're entitled to your opinion, and that could be facts in some ways. In some ways, yeah. I mean, I can't argue with some of this.
So let me ask you this. When you're critical of the Cowboys, because you've been very open every time I've talked to you about Dallas, I think you just say the truth.
Right.
Does Jerry call you up?
No.
Jerry, because he likes the attention, good or bad?
That's a question for Jerry.
Okay.
I can't answer that. What's going in that man's head. But all I can know, I can sit back here and look at things objectively like everyone else tries to. I can draw my own conclusion like everyone else is doing. And I have some personal insights because what I've been through with the Dallas Cowboys in terms of playing for them for 13 years, starting at the very beginning when he bought the team and they was losing $1 million a month to the point where we went 7-9, and then to the point we went 11-5, and then to the Super Bowl. So I can go through that whole thing and understand and see and sit back now objectively and look at, okay, this is how it was built. I've been in it. So to me, sitting back and looking at, there's a significant disconnect between the operating of the Cowboys brand and the operations of the football team. And the success of the Cowboys brand and the success of the football team.
All right, I know about the tequila. Tell everyone else. And by the way, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
Yeah, and
yeah. Smooth.
It's what time is it? It's 3:15 here.
Yeah,
it's 3:15.
2:15 Central.
Oh, is it 2:15 Central?
3:15 back on the East Coast.
Oh, so this is set up on three?
Yeah, yeah. We're New Yorkers.
Oh, so it doesn't adjust?
I don't know. Not my computer. You know what, though? I'll take a second shot of this, and you can tell me whatever time you want.
It's 3:15 somewhere. Mm-hmm. That's all I know. Somewhere. It could be East Coast. Mm-hmm. It could be Central.
That's good.
That is real good. That is the finest tequila right there. This is right here, what you're drinking right now. It's Herradura Ultra Añejo. It's a Cristalino. And so it's distilled out of Jalisco, out of Guadalajara, and it's a quality tequila. As you know, you be sipping on it, you still got some left over, and I brought you another bottle, so you'll never run out.
Well, I appreciate it. Emmett Smith, always great to see you.
Likewise.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Cam Jordan is scooting on by right now, literally on a scooter. That's Emmett Smith. Cam Jordan will join us next, back from Radio Row after these short messages. Alrighty, back inside the convention center here in New Orleans, and the party is here. You're having fun, Cam Jordan. Hey, today.
I mean, you brought me through a whole like decades infusion of like 70s retro arcade style to like 80s pop funk situation, 90s. What is that, Def Jam Vendetta era? Like, where are we right now? Okay.
So for people that don't know, because you can't hear it during the breaks, you hear commercials.
Yeah.
We have this crazy music that plays, and it just goes, you're in a 3-minute break. And then the beat just drops, you're in a 2-minute break. And you were jamming out. You got a freestyle?
No doubt. Like, if I had bars to give, I would own a treasury. You know, like.
I was going to say, don't expect them from me. I'm a white Jewish kid from New York.
Oh, man. Come on. Which should be surprising. There's either New York claims to be like a rap battle mecca, you know? Like,
yeah, some of my friends. But.
Yeah, no hot boys, but like, yeah, 50 Cent, you know?
If you want me to rap, I need more of Emmett Smith's tequila. All right?
No doubt. You have to go ahead. Look, the only thing I'm worried about is zipping in to and fro spots in New Orleans and the Media Row with my good old GT3 Pro.
Well, let me tell you. It's genius. So I see you. I go, Cam Jordan's not hurt. I'm like, well, is he on a scooter? And I see you just
zipping
around here.
Zooming.
It's awesome.
I mean,
I need one of those in the city.
Look, Segway is the number one electric scooter brand in the world, right? And I had the opportunity to partner up with them today to tell you that not only do they push scooters, but they push bikes. Their e-bikes are amazing. I was on an e-bike yesterday whipping around the city. Now, like, I'm whipping around the Media Row, and they're like, man, Cam's wild for that. Just imagine me on the e-bike in the city yesterday. I'm going, people saying hello, I'm pulling up, I'm grabbing a bike to eat, and then I'm back at it. Why? I'm feeling overly confident that I can leave my bike in front of places because this thing has a GPS Find My on the gosh darn e-bike. So when I need to find it, if it's ever stolen, which I hope it never is because it's New Orleans and people care about each other, I'd be able to track this thing. This thing is, I don't have to have my phone on me because this thing has the turn-by-turn GPS just like your car would.
Now, I've never been to a game at the Superdome. I know it's not the same feel as a Saints game, but I'm going on Sunday. What should I expect?
I mean, I don't know. If the black and gold were playing, you'd say, this is going to be the loudest stadium you've ever been part of. These vibes are going to be immaculate. You'd say, man, I wish I was rocking black and gold. But you got Gang Green and White and Red coming in.
I'm pretty two pretty good fan bases.
Great teams. And they're going to have to travel well. And if they travel well, then you'll experience something that you've never seen before. There's a reason why the Super Bowl has come to New Orleans 11 times. There's 31 other franchises, but I'm pretty sure we lead the pack with 11.
And you know what the number one reason is?
The food, the people.
Alligator. The alligator here is unbelievable.
Gator bites are delicious.
Very good.
I think Gator season probably just closed or is about to close.
What are some of your favorite restaurants, by the way? Here?
Man, I mean.
I'm going to GW Finn's tonight.
Boom.
Yeah.
Solid. That's great wine list. Try the scallop. Scallops and halibut put together. You want to try out Turkey and the Wolf if you're in that Lower Garden District. If you're around, you know, if you're around here, if you're around like downtown area, go to any one of the Moro's establishments. Moro's, Moro Steakhouse, Monday. Larry Moro is a guy from New Orleans. Started up his restaurants. He's probably got like 5 or 6 restaurants. So yeah. I'm doing a disservice. Sung Chong's out there. You want to go, if you're in the West Bank, which that's across the bridge from downtown area, you want to go to Keisha's Catering. You want to go to Antoine's Famous Bakery. You want to go, you know, if you're feeling like you're from the West Coast and you have a pinch and desire for tacos, go to Paco's Tacos. Go check out Tacos Del Cartel. There's so many places. This place, you can get whatever you need. Check out Saba's. You know, go down and go to Galatoire's. There's so many other places.
Have you heard of, this is where I'm going Saturday. Let's see.
Wow, BY and Media Row. Let's go. I love it. That's my D-line coach we finished with, Brian Young. Played for the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
Should be the next Saints D-line coach permanently.
Have you ever been to Herb Saint?
Of course.
Great.
Herb Saint is good.
Yeah. I went Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden took me to the Chop House the other night. It was delicious. Mm. New Orleans Chop House.
Did you get the fried lobster tail?
Yes.
Did you get the lobster bisque?
Yes, I did. I also got the shrimp were delicious.
Okay.
Yeah, they're colossal. A Cajun ribeye, too.
Oh, yeah.
And bacon. Pat P said the bacon.
And the bacon is good. The big old thick slab. Yeah. That pork.
That made me feel as if I was back in New York.
Man, I mean, you know, the only thing, did you walk home or did you drive home?
Yeah, I walk home.
You walked, bro, that sort of took you a while. Had you just got on a Segway scooter, you would have been there so much more efficiently. I'm not specifically the GT3 Pro, but like you can, like next time, just look at it. Look at store.segway.com and find your own scooter where you're going to get right.
How about Myles Garrett, by the way? How'd you react to that the other day with the
trade? Man, to pin a letter to a franchise that you've dedicated 8 years of your life to, well-deserved. If that's what he wants to get out, good for him. Way to not talk bad about the franchise and just ask out. You know, he's given it his all. He's given it DPOY seasons. You've given it all pro
seasons.
He
wants to win. I get it.
Exactly. You know, and you realize sometimes you can't win where you're at and you have to move on. Me, all I want to win is a healthy team. If I have healthy teammates, you can't tell me I'm not winning. We started off 2-0 with the healthy team, and we did it convincingly. And then convincingly, we started getting hurt. It was overly convincing that we needed to be healthy to be convincingly good.
But winning to what point? Because like
the point of winning is winning it all.
I say Super Bowl.
Again,
you think if you guys Palo are healthy, Alto. You could win a Super Bowl.
Palo Alto. I don't think 2-3 years out from now. I think next season. For me, it's not what I can do; it's how I can do it. And I believe that we've got the right pieces. You think about Demario Davis, Pete Warner. You think about Tyrann Mathews. You think about Will Harris, the way he came on, Alante Taylor. And that's just the defensive side. You go to the flip side, reverse that thing. On the opposite side where the speed demons are out, mm-hmm. where we got Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed. You got AK, a.k.a. 41, Alvin Kamara. Lights, Kamara, action. Is always going to be ready to go. So you put a healthy Derek Carr, which you saw what healthy Derek Carr did his first two games. You saw what healthy Derek Carr did in the middle of the season when he came back. Now, what you didn't see is him for all 17 games, and that's what I'd love to see.
Cam Jordan here with us on behalf of Segway. When we continue to just look at the state of football right now, when you get to this game coming up on Sunday, who do you lean towards in this game, just wondering?
I mean, I lean towards black and gold every time. So if you're saying if you take up my biased opinion of what happens, then I can see how each team can win. I mean, I can see how the Eagles could dominate this game on the defensive side and dominate the game on
Jalen
the offensive
Carter
side.
Jalen Carter something, man.
Jalen Carter. You know, you got Sweat. You got Nolan Smith. You got Brandon Graham. You've got Jordan Davis filling up the gaps. You've got, you know, all pro former Saints player Zach Bond of the Philadelphia Eagles now clearly playing the best ball he's ever played.
Yeah, how about what he's been – I obviously know his background and you know him very well. How about what he's been able to do this year?
Man,
defensive player of the year?
I love the fact that he's even in the talks of it. Whether he wins or not, you see that the ball skills that he's displayed, the punch outs, you see the way he's going sideline to sideline. I love that. You saw glimpses of it while he was at the Saints. He was came on from one of them red and white schools. I always miss this one, University of Wisconsin, and then showed his prowess, super fast, strong, slippery off the edge, and now he's playing off the ball in a spot where he clearly is comfortable. I love that for him.
All right, you're getting ready for the Kellen Moore era, by the way.
If that's where we decide to go, that's where we decide to go. That'll be something that I'll have to evaluate. But in my mind, the way that we attack offenses, the way that we attack defenses, everything that we do in between, all we need is a good staff. You know, you say you get us a great – we got a good wide receiver coach, possibly a great wide receiver coach that we've had. So now we got to find a head coach, see if we vet everybody. Again, hopefully my guy Brian Young comes back. The way that he teaches skills, he's able to elevate people's play in the short amount of time that he was able to do so as an interim D-line coach. I mean, what we went from to where we were at was night and day. You talk about the head coach position. You talk about the defensive coordinator. That's the one we need to figure out.
Does it change the way that you watch this game? Because you guys are the only team that hasn't hired a head coach. Like, I just assume with the reporting, hey, it's going to be Kellen Moore, it doesn't change it?
No, it changes the media's perception, not my perception. At the end of the day, at the end of the week, before the draft, we'll have a head coach. And will it be Kellen Moore? Maybe. Will it be Anthony Weaver? I don't know.
I think you'll have one before then.
I mean, I'm just simply saying. Whether it's today or 2 months from now, guess what? It doesn't change. My focus and what I want. I want black and gold to the Super Bowl. I want to be the best shape of my life when we have the chance to take the field again. That's what I want to be. I want a full-blown, healthy team for the next 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Sound like LeBron when he entered Miami. Not one, not two, not three, not four, and then being less than four. So, like, you know, there.
How many more years do you want to play?
What LeBron said, not one, not two, not three, not four, and somewhere fall in line, somewhere in there.
Gotcha. Last thing I'll ask you, because I think you may be the most interesting person here. What's the most interesting fact about Cam Jordan?
Man, the most interesting
besides
fact.
Besides that you like
Segway. I'll say the most interesting fact is all these people walking, I'm on this Segway pushing 48 miles per when I can, and it goes to 50. But if you say beyond that, I'm just a dad with four kids. I'm technically, and I say four kids, it's really three girls and my baby boy. Baby boy, just in terms of him being my son, he's a monster. He's about 9 years old, about 5'2", buck 07. He's leaned out, which I'm glad about.
Do you get to play in the league?
He plays flag football.
Okay.
You know, and as a dad, that's my proudest moments is watching my kids be happy. So I look at them and I just want to motivate them to be great, but they motivate themselves.
Awesome. Great stuff. Great to see you.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much. He's Cam Jordan. We'll take a timeout. Bijan Robinson going to join us next. All righty. Welcome back in. Zach Gelb here with you on Radio Row. Last year, I'll never forget when Bijan Robinson joined us because he had to go to the bathroom. And
there was
2.5 minutes.
That was wild, man.
And in our breaks, it's, you're in a 2.5 minute break. And
no,
they play EDM music.
Yeah.
And Bijan goes, where's the bathroom? And I go, right over there. And you ran.
I sprinted.
Went to the bathroom, came back, and you went to go shake my hand, and I go, did you wash him?
Yeah, I absolutely
and
did.
And you go, yep.
Yeah.
You went across the hall.
I did.
Back here, 2.5 minutes, and washed the hands.
I did.
And I already knew you were fast and good,
but
that was different.
I had to respect your time, man, you know?
So this year with the Falcons, so different than where we were last year, but heading into this season, there was higher expectations.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Kirk, I just never thought was at 100% health. How do you kind of look back at this season with Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, there's so much adversity that went on during that season. You know, I think that, you know, we you know, did what we were supposed to do when it came to, like, you know, coming together as a team and, you know, just raw, just making sure that this team is comfortable and is always, you know, prepared for every single game because I feel like we were. Obviously, you know, we fell short of some games that we wanted and that we wanted to take back. But, you know, for me, man, I think that we, you know, we learned from the adversity. You know, we wanted to get to the playoffs and to you know, win and go deep in that aspect. But, you know, we were short of that. But, you know, for me as a player, as a leader for the team, you know, it was more so just me making sure everybody was comfortable on the team and just me lead by example, really, because I'm still a young guy. But I try to do it as much as I can so guys can see me in on the practice field and on the field. But, you know, man, I think that, you know, we're coming together the right way. And you know, we all trust in Terry and Raheem and just everybody in that building to make everything right and to make everything, you know, the way it's supposed to be for the future for this team.
Nothing against Kirk Cousins, but was there a push in that locker room before he was announced that Michael Penix Jr. was going to start for Mike to get on the field and maybe be quarterback number one?
Really, nobody knew,
okay.
which was the thing, man. Like, you know, nobody knew what was going to happen. Nobody knew what was going on. You know, we were all preparing to play with Kirk. So, you know, us, you know, finding out that news and that information, it was something that we all just got from the social media. And
it's crazy.
You know, we got into the next day and we just kept it rolling. Because that's what you got to do in the NFL. You can't really, like, you know, be a poor me or feel bad or, you know, because you want to win the games that you want to win to make it, you know, far as a team. But, you know, obviously with Kirk, you know, I respect Kirk so much, bro, because, like, you know, he could have been arrogant. He could have been mean. He could have been, like, you know, he could have left the team and not been a team player. But, man, he stepped up big time. You know, he helped Mike out a lot, like, just having Mike see him and having Mike, you know, learn from him has been huge, man.
So with Michael Penix Jr. being the guy from the jump next year,
yeah,
right? You're, 2 years ago, there was quarterback issues. This year, there's a quarterback issue. What can Michael Penix Jr. bring to the Atlanta Falcons, in your opinion?
I mean, he has an elite arm talent. So, like, you know, him having, he can make any single throw, every single throw. And, you know, he can run a little bit too. So, like, he just opens up a lot, like, for the run game. He opens up a lot for the offense. Like, for me, hopefully I can open up everything for him in the pass game. But with him, he can sling it anywhere. And, you know, he can throw any ball and he can take it deep. It doesn't matter what it is, man. But, you know, I know that he can bring another presence to the offense that, you know, we're excited about. And for him to keep that composure is something that he's been really good at. So I'm excited what he can do next year.
Now, I want to be careful here, Bijan, before I throw out this comparison, because you guys aren't that down and out compared to this team and different type of player.
Yeah.
But you saw what happened with the Commanders this year. You get that quarterback, boom, you're 60 minutes away from going to a Super Bowl.
Yep.
Do you feel as if Michael Penix Jr. could have a Jaden Daniels type of effect when he's the full go guy next year?
Yeah, I think he can have a Michael Penix effect, you know? I think that he can bring that to the game. You know, and he just how he throws the football and how he gets certain, you know, certain passes to certain spaces has been like something that I've been really impressed with. But man, I think that, you know, if we do things the right way and we just follow the plan that they have for us, I believe we can have one of those seasons and one of those special seasons that we've been waiting for a long time.
Full disclosure, I thought Belichick should have been your coach last year. But where are you at with Raheem, your coach?
Oh man, I mean, I love Raheem, man. Like, you know, I think that he's the prime example of what a player should have in a head coach. He's the guy that, you know, it's bigger than him being a head coach. It's developing relationships. It's developing, you know, himself as, you know, a leader for the team, but doing it in a way that you can feel comfortable every single day. And, you know, I think that's the difference between, you know, good head coaches, great head coaches, and not so great head coaches is making sure that your team, you know, really is comfortable being there but loves to work hard for you and loves to work hard for the leader that's leading this team. And, you know, he brings that every single day, and I appreciate him so much for it.
So we had Myles Garrett here yesterday. Yeah. He was high in demand.
Oh,
he was
yeah.
talking about Philadelphia. He was talking about the Cowboys, right?
Oh,
all these different teams.
Yeah.
The feel I get from you is that you think you guys are ready to break out with Mike, with Drake London, obviously yourself.
Yeah.
And you believe in Raheem Morris as the head football coach. What's the pitch to Myles Garrett to help get you guys over the hump?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, I think that him coming to us, like, you'll be in a great city. Obviously, you'll be with great people on the team. Like, you know, you'll enjoy playing football. You'll enjoy being, you know, at the facility with us. You'll enjoy practicing. And it'll just be fun to compete. And, you know, I think that's the biggest thing. You know, you can talk all this fluff and you can talk all this, oh, you can get this. But, like, in reality, you know, you got to take things one day at a time. And, you know, obviously it's going to be a learning process, you know, being in a new team, new city. So I think for him, like, you know, making sure you're feeling comfortable with the people around you and the people you're going to be working with every single day, because that's what's most important. And then, you know, obviously being ready to perform on the field on Sunday, but having fun doing it. Like, there'll be no pressure for you. Just, you know, go out there and use the God-given ability that he has.
The running back position the last few years was in a bad place.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought you didn't have to pay running backs.
Yeah. Well,
I get it, right? A lot of these Super Bowl champions, running back by committees. You're a game changer. Derrick Henry's a game changer. And who am I for? Oh, yeah, the guy that's playing the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Yeah, Saquon, man.
Saquon Barkley, the TikTok, the Saquon Barkley. It's still something that every time I say Saquon Barkley, and I have to say it a different way.
No doubt.
To
no
see,
doubt.
Even though you want to be here, but to see what he's done for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Your
I mean,
thoughts.
Man, I mean, he's obviously been incredible, man. Like, you know, just the things that he's brought to that team, that offense has been, you know, pretty, I mean, obviously super special. But, yeah, man, I think just him doing what he did, like, he really did elevate this position. Obviously, there's been a lot of great running back seasons this season, and just seeing how special it's been and how special it's really going to become. Because, you know, I know that running backs are more than just, you know, running the football. Like, you know, we're effective in the pass game and pass blocking. So I think we do everything on the field. And when you have a guy like that, like, that's a true game changer for your offense. And you know, I think that every single day, like, we're seeing the talent and running backs and what we can do. But yeah, man, I mean, Saquon's been the leader of that this season. But there's been a lot of guys, you know, there's been five, six guys behind him that's, you know, that's right there too. So it's pretty cool to see it.
I got to ask you before we let you run, that play called by Sark, second down, pitching the ball back.
Hey, man, I mean,
I was not happy with that. It was a good season for Texas. Very good season. Quinn Ewers, I don't think, gets enough respect. Arch Manning, right?
Baller.
Everyone's waiting for him to be the full-time starter.
Right.
You were there, though. That play call, did not like it.
I know, man. It was, you know, it looked like if we just blocked one more guy, that play would have worked. It would have worked. So it was more so like, it wasn't the play
QB
call.
QB sneak, I formation, hand the ball.
I mean, yeah. Too. Going, definitely going.
Run north, that on fourth down if you need it to.
Yeah. Like north to south is the way to go always. But, you know, the play call was good. But if we just blocked that safety, we would have ran it in.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just like more the execution of it. But I think he had the right thing in mind, and he really didn't know like that was going to happen. So, but yeah, I mean, obviously, you always want to go north to south for sure.
What do we got cooking today?
Yeah, man. So this is my partnership with C4. You know, obviously, it's one of the best brands in the energy drink business, but for me it's been just amazing. Just
very tasty.
Okay, you like the orange?
Yeah.
All right,
it's also not the first time I've ever had it. I tried to sell it that way. They have these in our office all the time.
Hey, hopefully that gives you that energy too. I mean, but for me, like, the biggest thing is it's NSF approved, so it's safe, you know, it's protected. You don't got to worry about any outside material or bad things being in here to try to give you energy. Like, this is all, you know, in a lab that's you know, really make sure that you have the best performance out for your body, no matter what you're trying to do, working out, going to work, playing football, playing in a football game. Like, everything that it has is great for you, and it's just like more, I think this is more so like a lifestyle drink than an energy drink, because energy drink, that's a category, but this right here, you can use it in all phases of life, and it's great for you.
Well, you know what, C4 gives me energy, gives you energy.
Yes, it does.
What if Arch Manning has one of this? What kind of energy is Texas gonna have?
I mean, he needs to bring that energy every single day for that program, man. Because I mean, obviously, when you do great things with Texas, then you can be a legend in Texas forever. So hopefully, he does amazing.
You know what? I'll drink to that. Ready?
Yes, sir.
Cheers.
Let's go. I'm not gonna open this. I gotta take it with me.
You got it.
Yeah,
I know. You gotta do a bunch of these. He's Bijan Robinson.
Yeah,
Bijan,
man.
Appreciate it. Thank
you. Yeah, man. Thank you, bro.
And this portion of the show is sponsored by Hyundai. Hyundai helps protect you and your family on the road. We put your safety first and everything else second. Let me tell you, I'm going to have to be on some load management today. This is crazy. I don't know. I now know why NBA players need a day off every third day. I guess that's right. Drinking tequila to start the show with Emmett Smith, Bijan Robinson making me drink C4. We got tequila. We got the energy drinks. I'm going to need I'll be like Rex Ryan. I need a GD snack now when you make me having tequila and energy drinks right out of the gate. Zach Gelb here with you on Radio Row. Drew Brees is going to stop by coming up in about 10 minutes from now. Brian Dawkins will join us at 4:40 p.m. Eastern time today. Teddy Bruschi and DeMar Hamlin at 5 p.m. Eastern. And then the legendary, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, Joe Montana, will join the set at 5:20 p.m. Eastern time. You know, I can't wait to see next year, especially with the NFC South, because this year it was very underwhelming. All right, Tampa Bay wins a division. I think now Tampa Bay, they lose Liam Cohen. They lost their offensive coordinator the last 2 years. The questions now become, is Todd Bowles kind of maxed out in Tampa Bay? And can anyone else, you know, take that next step to not clear an incredibly high bar, but at least clear the bar of what Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, you know, and that group have really done, you know, now with Bucky Irving, Bucky, and what they've really done and what they did this year and what they've done since post Tom Brady as well. I know Bucky Irving was a rookie. But you look at Cam Jordan joining us from the Saints. You have Bijan Robinson from the Atlanta Falcons. Don't forget about Bryce Young as well, because he did a nice job. But I don't think the Panthers anywhere close to really winning. But if you have the quarterback, it could change overnight. Is anyone going to be a legitimate threat there? I know there's teams that have finished the same record, finished close and all that, but that feels as if it's a one-team division the last 2 years. And 2 years ago, we kind of pumped up the Saints. This past year, everyone pumped up Atlanta, and both didn't get the job done. And you look at that division now, you got Michael Penix in Atlanta. You then also have, with the Saints, probably Derek Carr coming back. I know Cam Jordan's saying how great Derek Carr is. That doesn't really do much for me. And then you have the Bryce Young. Okay, he did a good job in restoring his career. Now, can you build off some consistency while Baker's still going strong with the Buccaneers? So to see who is going to be that team next year, don't get me wrong, this is not something where we sit here and we look at it and we go, oh my goodness gracious, this is a phenomenal division. But when you go back-to-back spots inside the NFC South with Cam Jordan and Bijan Robinson, it just kind of makes you wonder, is anyone going to be finally able to usurp the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? And that's something that I end up looking at. By the way, Santa, we've made some headlines this week with Kayvon Thibodeau, with Myles Garrett, with Micah Parsons, with Paige Spiranik. This Warren Sapp thing really took off this morning. A lot of publications writing articles. I saw Awful Announcing did an entire piece how it was just the most bizarre walk-off ever of Warren Sapp. It wasn't anything contentious. And he's just talking about with us yesterday, hey, you got Travis Hunter, his opinion, I saw he was here today, best player in the draft. Then he said Shador, then he said Cam Warren. I said, what about Abdul Carter? I wasn't even planning on talking about this, just listening, having a conversation. And he goes, when was the last time a great pass rusher ever came out of Penn State? I go, Micah Parsons? You know, it'd be one thing if I said a youngster like Chop Robinson, who's right, you know, just got through the football season this year. But I said, Micah Parsons, double digit sack guy. And he walked off the set. And the Penn State community, isn't it funny? I'm their leader now. The AD of Penn State was texting me about this today. I always punch down on Penn State. I'm defending Micah Parsons and Abdul Carter, and the Penn State cult is gravitating towards me. I may be their cult leader now.
Well, I think at the end of the day, right,
when you're
always down on them, right, then when you finally say something nice about them, it means more. So
I'm helping the less fortunate.
There it is.
That's what I'm doing. We're coming on back, and we return in a few minutes. A man that will be in the Hall of Fame one day, a great quarterback. He's the leader of this city. Drew Brees going to join us next on Radio Row. Zach Gelb here with you.